If you have a Bible, I invite you to take it and to turn to the book of Acts. It's a wonderful privilege for Janet and I to be visiting Perth and particularly to be visiting Inglewood Community Church. You have a fantastic church, and it's just marvelous to hear your pastor share vision for the city, not just for this community, but for the wider work of what God is doing, and a bit of passion for the nation. And a real interest in the kingdom of God. Because the things that God is doing, they're huge. The things that God is interested in our world are literally cosmic. The things that God is interested in stretch far beyond our individual lives. Some years ago, a book was written, and the opening line of that book was marvelous. It said, "It's not about you." That's a great sentence to carry through life. So if it's not about you, well, then who is it about? What is it about? Well, it's all about God's interest and claims on the world. So you should start by loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind, character, energy, interests, activities. And then it's about loving the people around you. And if you love them the way you are first inclined to love yourself, you will travel very well in life. I want to read to you from Acts chapter 1. These are words that open the continuation of the story as written in Luke's gospel. It's the same author, and he's writing to an individual telling him about the life of Jesus and then what happened after Jesus' physical life and how that impacts this movement called the church, which is a group of people deeply in love with God, passionately committed to others, and living out a distinct lifestyle in the world. Acts chapter 1, if you found it, I'll read from verse 1. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Then they gathered around him and they asked, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" This is the word of the Lord, and we thank God for it and celebrate its truth. It's meant to inspire us, to encourage us, to teach us, and to shape our very lives. Jesus says an incredible thing to his disciples after giving them 3 years of personal mentoring. He says, in effect, "You're not ready." After giving them 3 years of one-on-one, practical, personal involvement. You need to realize how close this was. Jesus called out three young adult individuals. He said, "Look, why don't you move into my flat with me? Why don't you share meals with me? Why don't we spend the next 3 years doing life together? Because I am on a mission in this world. I am leading something absolutely amazing, and you need to be really close to me to understand it and catch the vision. So come with me." And then at the end of 3 years, he begins to tell them a bit more about what it means. And he says, "I'm going to send you guys to be witnesses to the world. But after 3 years, you're not ready. Because what you need more than a head full of knowledge, what you need more than a whole lot of practical mentoring and kind of hands-on evidence and experience is the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives. So you wait here in Jerusalem," he says, "until you receive the Spirit, and then you will be my witnesses." One of the most exciting things we get to do as the followers of Jesus is be witnesses to the things of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, the truth of who he is in this world. Some years ago, in the small group that Janet and I were leading in our home, a man, I'll call him David, sat on the couch in our lounge room, and he said, "I just don't understand my sister." "Why don't you understand your sister?" "Because I've told her how awesome the church is, and she doesn't want to come. I just don't understand her." And as we pushed into that space, it was one of those marvelous moments to see his passion for witness. You see, he had gotten married. He and his wife had a baby, but she died during childbirth. So he took to the bottle and began to drink to try to find his solace. And a couple from our church leaned into his life and brought him step by step closer and closer to Jesus, just showing him the truth of who Jesus is and walking with him and taking those unique opportunities as they come and being present, you know, in those moments, serving and caring for him. And eventually he committed his life to Jesus. And when he did, the lights went on and he could see what God's love really means for a person. And he could see how God's help was present in his life. So he goes immediately to his family and he says, you've got to come and be a part of this. And his family shake their heads and say, "Really? You've become religious." And they back off. And he was wrestling with what to do, how to witness, how to share. And I reckon Jesus would lean into his world as he did into the disciples and say, "You need the power of the Spirit. You need to be completely engaged with me in this task and overwhelmed by my Spirit, who will lead you, empower you, and enable you." This is a room full of people who are called to be witnesses for Jesus. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, if you're here this morning and you're still sorting this story out, thinking about it, reflecting on it, I can only encourage you to keep reading about the life of Jesus and talking to people who follow Jesus. Ask them lots of questions. Stir in that space. The Bible promises that if you seek God, you will find him. So keep seeking. Keep seeking. What is witnessing? Witnessing is three things. Witnessing is speaking, serving, and suffering in Jesus' name. And that's what I'm calling you to this morning, what the scriptures are inviting you to do, and what those who are a part of Inglewood Community Church have the privilege to do in this wider neighborhood that could change everything, to be witnesses for Jesus, to speak and to serve and to suffer in Jesus' name. Let's take those backwards, because I know you'll sit there and worry about suffering the whole time unless we speak to that first. What do you mean called to suffer? What do you mean witnessing is suffering? When Jesus appeared to Paul, who was one of the early converts, amazing story, read about it in Acts chapter 9, it will blow your mind. He got converted, much like the friend on my couch, and saw the power of Jesus and began to follow Jesus. But when he was converted, Jesus appeared to him in a vision and said, "Paul, I'm going to show you how much you must suffer for me." And that conviction, that truth, that anchor point is so important for us in doing the work of Jesus. We're actually called to be a people who are willing to confront injustices, even if it costs us, to lean in and be evidence of God's kingdom work, even if there is a price for us. So why is there suffering in witnessing to Jesus? Well, the answer is quite simply, really. It's because of the confrontation that Jesus set up in the very way he lived and served on earth. When Jesus was on earth, the Romans were saying very clearly, "The kingdom is ours." And Jesus said, no, the kingdom is God's. The Romans were saying that the kingdom and the power and the glory belong to the emperors, belong to those who sit in authority in this world. And Jesus was saying, in very clear terms, no, the kingdom, the power, and the glory belong to God. We've even got those words in prayers and songs today. And that's the conflict that is set up. It's still true today. People today still say the same thing. The choices belong to me. The rights are mine. I'm the one who gets to decide how things will happen. And Jesus leans into all of our worlds and says, no, no, all authority in heaven and earth belongs to God. He is the creator. He is the one who has rights on every life. And he is the one who wants to claim the power and the glory of the whole creation and of every life. And as soon as you begin to lean into and understand that dynamic, you can see how it sets you up for suffering. You need to lean into 1,000 situations and say, if you want this to be better, you actually need to surrender your life. You need to give up some of your rights. You need to give up your authority. Well, that's a real popular message in our culture today, isn't it? To tell people that the path to hope and promise is not the selfish path that seems so immediately apparent and easy, but the path is a path of surrender. It's a path that engages us in God's ways. And what that means for the followers of Jesus often is that we will lean into unjust situations and we'll speak truth. We will confront things for other people. We will name the things and stir in the spaces where there's something that's not right. And we will do that even if it costs us. Believers are the ones who in the workplace will actually do the task that others don't want to do. And there's always such tasks, because it's the task that nobody will be rewarded for adequately. But if you're the person who leans in and does that task, it speaks volumes. Witnessing is three things. It's speaking, it's serving, and it's suffering in Jesus' name. It's serving. So talked about suffering, and we'll keep talking about that. Witnessing is serving in Jesus' name. Jesus said, I didn't come for the world to serve me. I came so that I could serve the world. And he demonstrated that in so many different ways. And if you want to be a witness for Jesus, if you want to have a powerful impact in your family, in your community, in the sporting club, in your street, in your school, figure out how to serve in Jesus' name. Figure out how to do things to actually make the world more of what God wants it to be. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God, healing the sick and casting out demons. Do you remember that phrase? And it gets repeated in all the Gospels and gets repeated multiple times. And then when you read the Gospels, that's what Jesus does. He heals and he casts out demons. 21st century translation of those words. Inglewood Community Church came restoring health. Speaking of renewal, offering pathways of grace and forgiveness and amazing care and healing. Inglewood Community Church came confronting injustice, speaking up for those who are voiceless, challenging poverty, challenging what was broken in the culture with the very power of God. So why do you need the Holy Spirit to witness? Well, I've said that it's about suffering. Are you up for that? You're going to need the Holy Spirit to help you. To help you. As you lean into difficult situations to pay a price that initially will look to you like something, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. But as you do it, the consequences are huge. As you're going to look at opportunities of service and think, really, couldn't somebody else do that? Here I am at the workplace, there's this task to be done. Whoever does that task, there won't be any credit, there won't be any pay raise, there won't be any applause, but somebody's got to clean up that mess. And how about if a follower of Jesus is the one who leans in and says, I'll do that. I'll do that. It leads to opportunities. It leads to evidence of Jesus present in the workplace. This business of serving, I believe that Christians should be the most useful people in community. Christians should be the most useful people. Local schools should face problems and then say to one another in school council, does anybody know of a Christian, a follower of Jesus? Because those people are useful. They could fix it for us. The community's first thought should be, Christians are useful. They can help. Because they want to suffer and they want to serve and they want to speak about Jesus. So we'll let them speak about Jesus as long as they serve. And this is a powerful avenue for us to connect. Sometimes we get a little confused. We think that the church should actually be the moral police. Our witness is when we tell people that their behavior is bad. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Isn't that pointed and strong? He says, aren't we supposed to judge those inside the church? God will judge those outside the church. Very pointed, very clear. Sometimes we get the idea that witness is where you go to work and you see somebody misbehaving and you need to tell them. God's not pleased with you. But I'm not sure that's witness. We had an interesting experience at New Hope. Our church building is a community center. And so we have built a facility that we rent to our neighborhood and host in all kinds of different ways. So everybody comes and uses our building all through the week. We have TAFE graduations in our building. We have local stores do their product launches in our building. The Liberal Party's women's club does their variety presentation in our building. All kinds of weird and wonderful things happen in our building. So the Department of Education hired a group to do some professional education with teachers in our building. And they decided that they were going to do some spiritual training. And so they had a group to do some stuff with crystals and a group to do some stuff with yoga. And our events manager came to me and said, Alan, we've got people who are going to do crystals and yoga in the building. What are we going to do with this? Shouldn't we tell them this is wrong? Shouldn't we confront them? Shouldn't we be the moral police? Now, that's a challenging space to be in because our name is on the front of the building and everybody knows that it's the Baptist church and now we're doing crystals and yoga. Good land. Where is this going to lead us? Where's the line? Where do we confront this stuff? How do we speak to this? So we pulled back and spent a little time in prayer. Because we knew that we were in a place that was challenging. And how do you witness in this space? How do you present Jesus as attractive and yet maintain, you know, integrity? And how do you, because real witnessing in the real world is hard, isn't it? It's a messy space. It's difficult to do. And we go to the class and, you know, we get the 3-point kind of plan. And then nobody ever operates according to the 3-point plan. They ask us questions we never saw coming. It's difficult. That's why Jesus said, don't try to do this. Don't try to do this without the power of the Holy Spirit. Wait for it. Welcome it. Ask God's Spirit to guide you and lead you and fill you. He'll help you suffer. He'll help you serve. And he'll help you speak like you never thought you could speak, so that you can stand in the midst of situations where you thought it was hopeless, and suddenly people are interested in Jesus. And they want to do something with this and explore it and go forward. And you'll shake your head and think, this is fantastic. All glory to God. So we leaned back and we prayed. And we said, Lord, what are we meant to do? And somebody in the little discussion group had a wonderful insight. They said, instead of telling these people they can't do this, let's go to them and offer to help. Let's serve. So we went to the organizers of this event and we said, we see you're doing some spiritual things. You've got the crystals, the yoga and spirituality and all that. You do realize that we're the experts in spirituality? And the organizers said, we never thought about that. Would you like to do a presentation? We said, we'd love to. So we got invited in. We got invited in to give one of the main presentations in the training time. And wouldn't you know it, by God's grace, the person doing the crystals got sick on that day, didn't show up. Never even happened. Just all fell apart in God's grace and glory. There's something about what God wants to do here and how he wants to lead us and how he wants to amaze us with his capacity. It's his mission. It's his son, Jesus. It's his work of witness. And that's why we are told so clearly, don't try to be clever. Don't try to be, you know, all kind of, you know, organized. And I can do this in my own strength. No, you can't. Those who spent 3 years with Jesus personally weren't ready until they had the Spirit of the living God. So welcome God's Holy Spirit. Ask his Spirit to be with you. Just in prayer, as you step into your workplace, your place of study, your family, the community activities, the sporting things you're involved in each week, make it a constant aspect of your prayer life to invite God's Spirit to walk with you and to help you to be to be a witness for him, who can speak for Jesus. Because witnessing involves speaking in the name of Jesus, as well as serving and suffering in Jesus' name. And the speaking can be the really hard part. Because we'll serve, we'll lean in, we'll do that task. But then to speak. And have you ever had that moment where, you know, somebody has asked you the question and you thought, I have no idea how to answer that question. And you bumble around for a few minutes and then the opportunity passes. And then you're walking away from it, your head kind of low, thinking, I just messed that up completely. I just lost an opportunity. Let me encourage you with two things. First of all, the words of Jesus. He says, all this I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. He'll give you words, it says, as we go on and read. He'll tell you how to answer and what to say. Now, sometimes that happens in the first moment. Sometimes that happens when you're right there and you're talking and the person asks you something and you think in your head as you're praying. I love Nehemiah. Nehemiah was in a tight situation. The king asked him a question. It says in Nehemiah chapter 2, I prayed and then I asked the king. Quick prayers. There ought to be arrow prayers in our lives all the time. A friend comes into your life, you know, and asks a question and you just whisper in prayer, God help me, give me words. And it is sometimes the case that the next thing you say is so clever, you surprise yourself. You think, wow, that's pretty good. I should write a book, become a preacher. This is really good. I'm smarter than I thought. But often what happens is you stumble and you lose the plot and you get a bit lost. And this is everybody's experience. Don't think this means that you are weak in your witness. Don't think that this means you're second class. And don't go away beating yourself up thinking, I should have had something better to say. Here's the best recovery. Go back to that person 4 days later, 5 days later, 8 days later, and say, I have been thinking about the conversation we had. That's one of the most powerful things you can do. That affirms the individual. We had a conversation and you're still thinking about me? You're still thinking about what we said? And then give them your better thoughts, your developed thoughts, your progressed thoughts. And let them know that you're still searching and thinking and you don't have all the answers. But that was a really good question you asked. That was very provocative. Got me to thinking. Got me to wondering about what you were saying. And here's my next thoughts on that. And it's amazing how a relationship can go forward. We can speak for Jesus. If we think about it over a period of time, most people come to faith in Jesus over a period of time. And because many Christians are interacting and connecting, and because they experience community and involve themselves in a wider picture, and because the Holy Spirit of the living God is at work. So what is witnessing? Witnessing is speaking and serving and suffering in Jesus' name. And it usually comes in three incredible flavors. So think of a triple cone. The flavors blend into one another. But it usually comes in the flavor of opportunity or inquiry or assignment. And the most exciting one is the third. Opportunity is just everything you bump into as you travel along. Paul says to the Colossians, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So what he's talking about there is just all the moments of life. There's always something happening for people. And so ask the Spirit of the living God to give you eyes to see and a heart that's open to others. And just make the most of every opportunity. And don't carry those you know, situations with burden. Carry them with joy. And know that God's using every seed that you plant. And then there's inquiry, which is where people ask you, 1 Peter chapter 3, in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. To give reason for the hope that you have. And do this with gentleness and respect. Keep a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. There's always somebody who's watching you. And as people are watching you, there's always somebody who is getting ready soon to ask you about your lifestyle. And what Peter is saying is, don't let that surprise you. Don't be caught in a place where you think, wow, I was never expecting anybody to ask me about my life as a follower of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is at work in lives all around you, stirring and getting people to a different place. And somebody's going to come to you and say, please explain yourself. And you and I need to have a readiness for that and a boldness to be able to simply point people in a gentle way to Jesus. There's opportunities everywhere. There's the moments of inquiry where people ask us. And then there's the third flavor, which is assignment. It's where God sends us on assignment. The scriptures are full of this, and this is where we really need to anticipate the work of the Holy Spirit. This can be very exciting. Do you remember the story of Philip in the book of Acts? He was a pastor in a church much like Inglewood. Things were going great. You know, he was a pastor in a context where there were people coming to faith in Jesus, and then one day God takes Philip and transposes him, calls him out to a different location. The desert. And Philip finds himself in this place where, there's nobody around. And then in the text, in Acts chapter 8, it says, the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip and said to him, go over and stand by that chariot. And there's this chariot literally going along the road. It's heading to Ethiopia. It has inside it the minister of finance from Ethiopia. And Philip, this follower of Jesus, whose spirit is open to hear from God, who has nurtured a readiness to hear the gentle whisper of God, the promptings of God in his life, is there and ready. And he hears that prompting. He walks over to the chariot, and he just begins to walk alongside the chariot as it is slowly rumbling toward Ethiopia. And he hears the man inside reading from the book of Isaiah. And eventually he says to the fellow, he says, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy in the chariot says, heck no. I'm reading from the book of Isaiah. It doesn't make any sense to me. I've just been up to the temple worshiping in Israel. How could I understand this unless somebody explains it to me? What an incredible moment that must have been for Philip when he put all the pieces together and realized, this is why I'm here. This is my moment. God has sent me on assignment. And here is a guy saying to me, I need an interpreter. And Philip, I'm sure, in his own heart and soul was rejoicing, thinking, well, I am your man. Can I get up in the chariot? Come on, get up here. And they travel on, and he explains to him Jesus, starting with the very verse in the book of Isaiah that he was reading. And before long, the Ethiopian is overwhelmed by the wonder and love of Jesus. There's some water. He gets baptized. And then the text ends saying that Philip got caught up to Azotus. And we don't know anything more about it. I reckon he just went on his next assignment and did the next thing that God had for him. So here's my question this morning. Are you ready for an assignment? Will you open your heart and life to God such that he can use you as a witness on assignment? Use every opportunity. Be ready to answer every inquiry. But posture yourself for an assignment from God. What is witnessing? Well, it's speaking and serving and suffering in Jesus' name. And the Holy Spirit's at work in all of that activity, drawing people to himself. So are you ready for an assignment this week? Are you ready to be, just caught up in God's grace, whispered into your mind, your soul, your spirit, something where you find yourself now in a place of readiness and God uses you in a way you didn't expect? That's why Jesus says to his disciples, don't go off half prepared. Don't run into this in your own strength and your own energy. Don't think you can wow the world without the Spirit. Welcome the Spirit of the living God, because he will help you. He'll give you words to speak. He will empower your service with capacity so that you can lean in with healing, restoration. You can confront injustice. And even as you suffer, he'll hold you together. He'll bless you and be with you. He'll carry you right through to the end. He'll teach you hymns to sing while they lock you up in prison. That was the disciples' experience. The Spirit of the living God makes possible this witness. And then he wants to take you and send you on assignment. And there's no experience more exciting than to be in a place where you know that God is with you and using you. And that's when your faith will grow most profoundly, when you are in the journey, living out this faithfulness in witness. This is not something that we are called to individually in a way that makes us nervous and scared. We're called to it together. And so we're meant to encourage each other and share our stories together and carry one another along and in community experience the grace and glory of God. Can I invite you to just join me as we pray and to open your heart for an assignment from God? And then perhaps this morning, just share some of your witness stories with one another. As we leave the church this morning, some of your passions, what you expect, what you desire for Inglewood Community Church, as together you welcome God's Spirit to lead you on witness. Let's pray together. Father God, we pray that you would give us assignments for your glory and for your name's sake. It's a wonderful privilege to think that we are called to be witnesses of the most wonderful story in all of history. We are called to be witnesses to the most profound truth in all of history. We are called to be witnesses to the most wonderful person who ever walked the face of the earth. And Lord, as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, as we live in this grace, as we experience this love, Lord, you have made us to be new people, new creations in your grace. So speak to us, Lord. Speak your wisdom and your will into our hearts and lives. And Lord, we open ourselves just now for an assignment from you. Lord, give us the capacity to witness in every opportunity, to answer upon every inquiry. But Lord, we pray for assignments. Send us out, God, with the whisper of your Spirit, with the power of your hand, to do exceedingly abundant, more than we think or imagine, to see your kingdom advance and to experience your grace at work within us. Lord, how thankful we are for the gift of your Spirit. How thankful we are, Lord, for the call to witness, and how thankful we are for every good thing that comes down from the Father of lights. Bless us in your glorious name. Amen.